Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Text for consideration we'll be taking a look at today is recorded for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. God's word is truth. Amen. Last week we covered the Moses side of Numbers 11 and how the Lord called and equipped many for ministry in the same way the Lord has called and equipped you for ministry. You already know that half of the story. Now let's look at the other half. Today we look at the riffraff. That's what they call them. The Israelites complain, and not only in their hearts, but openly, how dare God treat us this way? How difficult. It's too much, Lord. And they went from a moment of anxiety to the sin of complaining. It's a common path and one to watch out for. And we all have worries. We all have anxiety. And the rate of anxiety in the nation as a whole is on the rise. As people, we have a difficulty knowing what to do with anxiety and how to work through it. Scripture tells us this in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Bring it to the Lord. Bring the problems, the hardships, the relationship trouble, the uncertainty that this world offers, and bring it to the Lord in prayer. He cares for you. He will bring peace to your heart and soul. And the knowledge that God is in control of all things and that he is limitless bring a calm to the turmoil in our life. But not for the riffraff, no. They didn't take their anxiety to God. They let the anxiety fester and it leads the soul to trouble. They doubt God. They doubt his goodness and his love. They doubt if God knew what in the world he was doing. So they complain openly and blame God for their hardship and were frustrated with him. They let their anxiety morph into the sin of complaining against God. God sends a firestorm around the perimeter, a new anxiety from afar. Notice how God does the same in your life. The fires out west, the hurricane out east, the floods on the west side of Madison, the cancer another is battling that is gaining ground quicker while yours subsides. The acts of God flash around us, as we all remember that we live in a fallen world. And Jesus says this in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take your anxieties, the uncertain paths before you, to God. And do not take on a grumbling, complaining heart to soul that blames God and with a fist in the air claims, God, how dare you? If your anxieties have crossed over to complaints against the Lord, just take a look at Numbers 11 and see where complaining against God gets. Repent of such sin and receive God's love and mercy. And ask God to stop such a heart within us and to give us a renewed heart ready to be what God would have us be. How's God working through this hardship? How can my anxiety flatline? Well, God knows. Go to him. Hear him out. Let's go to the manna issue. God sent bread from heaven every morning except Saturday when it was a Sabbath day. It settled on the ground when the dew came. And they gathered it, they cooked it, they ate it. And when Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's a throwback to the days of manna. God sends us a daily provision of his goodness. And there's a question I have to ask. It's a hard question to deal with. It'll convict your spirit as it does mine. Do you look at the blessings of God that he gives to you with disdain in your heart? Lord, we have manna. We've got plenty of manna, but we have no meat. Lord, I have a job, but the job is ferocious and the boss is a jerk. Lord, I love and have married the love of my life, but we argue and get fed up with each other. Lord, the children you have given me, they are not perfect children. Huh. Now they have children. And the grandchildren, they're not perfect either. I was thinking there might be a chance there, but there's nothing. No. The truck that I have keeps breaking down. The fields I have are all filled up with mud. You mean to tell me that you have a job, you married the love of your life, you have children, you have grandchildren, a truck and fields, and you are complaining about it? You know, it's the riffraff complaining about the manna falling from heaven all over again. Just kicking the dust up off the desert floor. Talking about how good they used to have it when they were slaves back in Egypt. But God called them out of that slavery in Egypt. You too, you were called and you're on a journey to the promised land. Will you sacrifice a little bit to get there, to where God is taking you? Will you go with what God provides while you follow Him? Will you do that instead of going back to the slavery of sin and the provision the world brings, which leads to death? The riffraff rejected God. They rejected His ways. They rejected His provision. Do we do the same? The great theologian Garth Brooks sang some of God's greatest gift are unanswered prayers. And in Romans 1, it speaks about how people exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they did not glorify the Lord nor give Him thanks. And so God delivered them over in the desires of their hearts to the sin that they craved. What a terrifying event. If you want something, if you crave something more than God, He might give it to you. He might give you the idol of your heart like a moth to the flame. Idolatry is the focus of your adoration, the desire of your heart. It can be a neutral thing all by itself. Sports, financial security, ice cream, chocolate. But if you crave it more than God, it becomes an idol and leads to the death of your soul. They wanted meat. God gave them quail. The one who gathered the least had 50 bushels. They ate some, dried the rest. They ate and ate and ate. God sees that some valued the meat more than their maker and redeemer, that meat became the idol of their heart. And He sends some to death with a plague while the meat is still stuck in their teeth. And now, all of them ate, but only some died of the plague. Which group was it? The greedy? How about the complainers? What about those who didn't consecrate themselves like God asked them to? Well, we were not told. Probably the reason why is so that we can see our sin as a likely culprit. Is it the greed? Is it the complaining? Is it the refusal to bring thanks to God and to follow His ways? What we know is this, that any idol of our heart, the intense cravings and the cravings of the sinful nature lead us to the grave. In our gospel today, Peter walks on water to Jesus. He looks away from Jesus, starts to sink. We can sink in our cravings. We can drown in them. What to do? Well, you see Jesus again and cry out to Him, Lord, save me. He does. He reaches out His hand and grabs yours. He pulls you out. Even if you are drowning in the cravings of the sinful nature, He loves you. He wants to save you. Let Him. Let Him do that. You have to name it. There is healing in it. To call it what it is. To admit where those cravings lead. And they named it graves of craving. They called it that because of the people who were buried there. And you can call it graves of craving for a different reason. Bury the cravings of idolatry 6 feet under. Bury the idol of your heart and turn to the Lord. And don't go digging up dead idols anymore. God has forgiven you of your idolatry. Your sin is buried. Your soul is resurrected in Christ. You live in Him as you journey to the promised land of heaven. It is God Himself who brings you on this journey. Crave Christ. Crave the Word and the very presence of God. Amen.